You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Oh, we're back to the jazz. How about that?
The jazz is back, baby.
The jazz is back. And maybe it's in celebration of Derek Brunson's dominant win over Darren Till in the main event. Submits Mr. Till in the third round via rear naked choke. Till had his moments early on. He had his moments a little bit later, but for the most part, this is the Derek Brunson show. He gets it done. 5 wins in a row. He called for Israel Adesanya next. And we will see if that is the direction the UFC in the middleweight division heads, as we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 36 post-fight show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. I am not alone, thank goodness. We got my best friend, Prince of Positivity, Alex Kaylee, in the house. How are you, sir?
I'm lively and awake. It's not even, it's just barely 6:30 East Coast time. For some people, it is 3:30. It's the middle of the day. This is a beautiful time to be talking, to be watching MMA and to be talking about MMA.
I agree. The UFC needs to do this at least once a month. Oh, wonderful. Catering to this time slot. It's beautiful. Absolutely fantastic.
To the beautiful people of the UK. This is for the people. The people in the UK are right. This is when MMA is supposed to happen.
I agree. And on the ones and twos, baddest dash in MMA media, E. Casey Lydon.
Hey, hey. I absolutely love this start time. That was the true performance of the night, was starting the fights so dang early.
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. I would also agree that Derek Brunson has every right to call for a title fight right now. Will he get the next one? Probably not. But has he put himself firmly into that conversation? Absolutely. He goes out there, weathers the early Darren Till storm, and then eventually, I mean, probably a 10-8 first round in the end of that. I mean, it was pretty darn close. I mean, that was one-way traffic for the last half of that round plus. And then Brunson took control in the second. Till had a couple moments in the third, but in the end, Brunson gets it done and stops Darren Till. He did exactly what he needed to do, AK. So overall, were you surprised that this was such a dominant performance from Derek Brunson?
I was not. Anyone who listened to me pre a fight, I admit my recollection of Darren Till's fights was very shaky. So I do apologize in advance for some of that, my lackluster analysis. But at the heart of it was my thought that he's, and this is something that Casey said before as well, Till is just so unproven at 185. Like, we kind of know how good he was at 170. And at 185, it was really only a sample size of 2 fights. A close one that he won over Gaslam, and then a really competitive fight with Whitaker, though, that he clearly lost. But I mean, but a competitive fight. So we know he can hang with the best. But is he one of the best? And that's why Derek Brunson was such a perfect opponent, because Derek Brunson's whole story is he can beat a lot of sort of mid-tier middleweight competition, but he can't beat the best. So today we would find out, is Till middle tier competition or is he one of the best? Because if he's one of the best, he's probably going to win. If he's mid tier, Brunson's probably going to run over him. We got the ladder. We got Brunson using his wrestling, just relying on it, and a solid chin, some good striking defense, and going with his fundamentals to win the fight. So no, I was not surprised at all. I thought Till looked good when he was on the feet, as we suspected, and Brunson looked great when he could get the fight to the ground. So this really played out, I think, as not just me, but I think a lot of people would have predicted.
What did you think, Casey? I think we were all kind of curious as to who Darren Till was as a fighter, especially at 185. Was he good? Was he pretty good? Like, how good was he? We weren't really sure. I mean, AK talked about it, small sample sizes. Feel like the ceiling was very high for Darren Till, but we weren't really sure what we were going to see. And then Derek Brunson goes out there and just does the damn thing. So your thoughts on Brunson's performance, what he was able to do, and you know, how Darren Till looked in this fight as well.
I wanted to go back to what AK said. Even your question, we're asking about Darren Till. Like, it seems even though he dominated and he's going to win 50K, he just won a main event, dominated Darren Till like maybe no other person, maybe other than Tyron Woodley, I'm thinking in the UFC. Well, he got knocked out, of course, but by Masvidal. But at least just in a main event fight, like, just we're not talking about Derek Brunson still. We're still talking about Darren Till. That doesn't move. It's the conversation should be all about Derek Brunson and how good Derek Brunson is. Darren Till, we kind of came in. I think me and AK, we were both very confident that Brunson was going to win this fight. We just thought that he's a better mixed martial artist. He's a much better wrestler, a much better grappler. He would, and essentially, you know, Derek Brunson would have to get caught with something. And even though Derek Brunson is maybe past his athletic prime, he's almost 38 years old, the experience he has right now, and just look at that third round. He got Till hurt him, and then Brunson remained controlled, got a controlled takedown, not a desperate takedown, got a controlled takedown, and wound up finishing the fight after getting hurt only like 30 seconds before that from Till. So just a great performance from Derek Brunson. He's so much better than the Brunson that I think fans want to kind of go back to. Like the same Brunson that lost to Romero, the same Brunson that lost badly to Izzy. Hey, Izzy was a freaking champ. You know, he lost to the champ on purpose. I mean, he lost to the champ for a reason. The champ's a champ for a reason. And yeah, if Brunson fought Izzy tomorrow, I would still be heavily in favor of Stylebender winning that fight. But that doesn't take away from how good Derek Brunson is. And without a doubt, Derek Brunson is an elite middleweight, and he's right up there for a title fight. Now, is the UFC going to give him one? Does he move the needle enough? That's a whole other story. But skill-wise, absolutely Derek Brunson. Great performance. Darren Till, I said going into this, he's a good middleweight, and I still think he's a top 10 middleweight. He's just he lost to a much better fighter tonight, and Derek Brunson showed up.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you just said. And to me, and I said this on the preview show, I said this on the pre-fight show with Sean Brady as well, Derek Brunson just getting a win puts him higher than Jared Cannonier, in my opinion.
Oh.
A win over Darren Till. Yeah, a win over Darren Till means more than a win over Calvin Gastelum.
Especially how he did
the way that it is.
Yeah.
Him finishing, this is a no doubter right now. So the ball is in Derek Brunson's court, in my opinion. He can choose to fight Jared Cannonier if he wants to, but he could also sit around and he could wait for the title fight if he wants to too. He has primo, he's in the driver's seat, AK. Would you agree with that? He's in the driver's seat over Jared Cannonier in terms of the on deck circle for the title fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, much like Carla Esparza, he's just about guaranteed himself a title fight with the wait a minute.
Too soon.
Oh, no. Yeah, look, in a fair and just world, of course he's done enough to earn a title fight. Like, again, we were saying, like, okay, again, maybe he's still, you know, like, he hasn't proven still that he can get that, like, win over a top five guy. That's fine. But when you're, you know, building contenders, there's some equivalence, you know, when someone can string together at least a strong enough win streak. Again, you do want to see him get that win over another top five guy. But, like, I don't see why Brunson and Cannonier can't both get title shots. Like, I think you're right, Mike. I think Brunson leapfrogged him. If I had to pick one of the two, mm-hmm. I would certainly go with Brunson and say that Cannonier is now the one who needs one more win to get a title shot. But I understand if fans are like, well, we've seen Brunson fight Adesanya. The Cannoneer's the fresh matchup. Again, to me, that's not fair. I think Brunson has done more recently to earn the title shot. But I get it from fans. UFC probably as well. Again, they always would favor fresh matchups over over rematches, unless, you know, we're talking about like McGregor's and, you know, their Khabib's and things like that. But like those kind of level stars, then you want to see them fight as much as possible. But for Brunson, again, they just don't see him that way. And unfortunately, he just can't seem to get any leverage with the matchmakers, even with tonight, like one of his best performances during this win streak he's been on. So, he's done enough. Would I bet money on him getting a title shot without having to fight again? I would not.
If you're Jared Cannonier, Casey, and you're watching that performance, what are you thinking? Are you like, ah, I don't know who I'm going to have to fight now, but might not be this guy.
If I'm Jared Cannonier, I'm jumping and using those Twitter fingers and going calling out Brunson. I think that's all he can do. I definitely think he got leapfrogged. I know we said Derek Brunson's in the driver's seat, but I still think he's closer to the driver's seat. I think before Derek Brunson was in the back seat. I think Derek Brunson's at least riding shotgun now. He can control the radio. I don't think he's in the driver's seat yet. But Jared Cannonier, yeah, he was behind Darren Till. He was the biggest loser tonight, the second biggest loser. Because for Cannonier, he just called out Brunson. I'm not sure what to do, honestly, if I'm Cannonier right now.
I wait a month and I call out Darren Till if I'm Jared Cannonier.
Either way.
The name still has value, one. And two, you know, I mean, he has the opportunity to do it better. I'll finish him in the second round. It's like, name that finish. I'll just get out there. You did it in three rounds. I'll do it in two. I'll do it in two and a quarter.
Real quick, I want to just hit on this. I pulled these from Tapology, and this isn't the betting lines. This is Derek Brunson's last three fights. This is what the fans picked as far as predictions. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Yeah.
Good.
Let me check
just,
our MMA
just,
fighting.
Just think about it. Oh. We're saying Derek Brunson should be fighting for the title shot, and yet in the last three fights, these are hardcore MMA fans, and nobody believes in Derek Brunson.
There's
nobody.
It's
fascinating, to be honest. It's fascinating.
I picked him. I picked Brunson 2 out of 3. I didn't pick him in the Holland fight, but I picked him in the. I'm pretty sure I picked him to beat Shabazian.
But look at that. He was the biggest underdog. But like, Brunson's slowly creeping up, though. He went from 13 to 21 to 37. So, you know.
It's 8, it's 16, so he'll be like 30. Yeah, he'll be the favorite in the next one, according to the Tapology. Well, unless he fights Izzy, then probably not.
MMA fighting, our tweet which I put up before the fight, 75% Darren Till, picking Till to win. 75%.
Do MMA fans know what they're watching, or is it are they just
slowly love him?
That's what I mean. Like, we're not Darren Till. Unfortunately, we're not. Round one isn't the pre-fight talk. You know, round two isn't his Twitter talk. Round three isn't his IG live. This is unfortunately just him in the cage, and in the cage tonight he was just no match for Derek Brunson.
Yeah, he came out firing. I was like, this is what I thought was going to happen. He's gonna ping Derek a couple times, but Derek got the takedown and everything changed from there. We got bonuses.
I was gonna say, even Till said he had never faced a wrestler that was like Brunson. I guess Woodley would be the closest, but he had said even he was worried about the wrestling. He said this is a very different challenge, and he was right. I mean, really, he hasn't recently. Gastelum's a guy who doesn't use his wrestling offensively that much, and that's about it. Otherwise, he's had some pretty favorable stylistic matchups as far as strikers go. So we should have known. I mean, I picked Brunson, but
all right, but we're doing bonuses now. Okay.
Go ahead, Casey.
Is there a fight of the night?
Yes.
Okay, there's a fight of the night. Ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay. Two performances, Patty and Derek Brunson. And fight of the night, I like DeRosa Jourdain a lot, so that's my pick.
You are Casey, 2 for 4.
Casey, we just said the UFC has no respect for Derek Brunson. You really thought they were going to give him a bonus?
They didn't give him a bonus?
Nope.
He was the underdog. He was an underdog. Main event. He just finished there. Oh my god! I got to.
Do you know that? Right, AK.
I saw the man.
Okay. So Tom Aspinall, Patty Pimblett, and then Molly McCann, Jeon Kim was fight of the night.
I had no problem with that fight of the night. That was a great fight. I have no, issue. I didn't pick that one. I put that one on our little, on our Slack channel for kind of, hey, remember this fight of the year, guys? And McCann came. And that, hey, that was my sleeper fight of the night, too.
Well done. Well done. I like that matchup. I don't know why. I don't know why people were kind of down on it. Did they think that? I guess they thought Kim was going to kind of, I guess the 10 inch reach advantage, they thought Kim was just going to pick her apart for three rounds. But I'm like, I don't know if she has like the motor to kind of keep up with like what McCann can put out there, which is exactly what we saw. Like, McCann was getting hit for sure and some great moments. But like,
reach advantage is so overrated in MMA.
No one knows how to use it.
Well, all the champs are just the tallest fighters then. I mean, that's just not the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, who else couldn't you? Who was the other fighter that really struggled with using their, I think, was it Arosa a little bit? Yeah, Arosa a little bit is a guy who never really uses his range that much. I don't know. It's a funny thing. Yeah, you're right. It's there's just so many ways to attack someone in MMA that it's just pure arm reach advantage just doesn't tell the whole story.
I don't understand. I mean, Tom Aspinall, great victory, but I don't think there's anyone picking him to lose this fight other than Spivak.
It was a very cool finishing sequence, though. Kind of like a knee to the body,
knee elbow combo. Oh. Yeah, boom, boom.
It was sick.
But I mean, I don't. Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's whatever.
Patty was a lock.
But even then, I still understand how performance bonuses work because Patty was getting his butt kicked and then he wins. So that's good. I mean, it's a cool finish, I don't know. Derek Brunson dominated.
The UFC likes that. He showed grit.
Why didn't Roundtree get one then? Why didn't Roundtree?
Because that was just disgusting, and they didn't even show that clip on their on the social media. They didn't even show it.
Roundtree got.
Yeah. I mean, you knew Patty was getting one. Even if Patty got,
Patty was a lot.
Even if Patty got pieced up 110 strikes to 2, and the second one knocked out Luigi Vendramini, he was getting a bonus. If he won a decision, he was getting a bonus. Yeah. Let's just put that out there. The way they were pushing him, if he just won, he was getting a bonus. But he deserved that. That was nuts. Absolutely insane. Like when someone says, "Do you remember that fight card headlined by Derek Brunson and Darren Till?" The first thing I'm going to remember is Patty Pimblett's win. Because that was insane. And the way, like, I have not heard the UFC Apex that loud ever. Ever. Except for, like, the first season the Contender Series was there when they let, like, 150, 200 people in there. Other than that, with, like, since the pandemic began, that was the loudest I had heard that building. Easily.
Yeah, the crowd was pretty active throughout. There was some chance for Brittany Palmer. There was apparently one guy trying to get a Let's Go Tom Aspinall chant going, which did not go anywhere. fell a little flat. But yeah, it was kind of a cool environment. Again, we've said many times, like, oh, what if this could have been? How insane would that debut have been in London?
Oh, you know? My God. I mean, that would have been one of the moments of the year.
The Molly McCann fight, so it was exciting. And then the Tom Aspinall win, like, it would have just been – they would have been – only slightly deflated by the main event, but other than that, there were so many memorable moments that they, you know, it would have been tough because he was getting grounded like a lot. It was like a prolonged beating, you know. It wasn't like so that part would have been tough, but they would have remembered Aspinall, Pimblett, McCann. Like, Jack Shore looked great. I mean, it wasn't the most exciting fight, but he looked great. Looks like a real legitimate contender at 135. So, but yeah, Pimblett was the man. A lot of people might not like his personality, but guess what? That's how stars are made. You got people, so a lot of people love you, a lot of people that don't like you, and a lot of people are just talking about you. And that's the thing. I saw people on both sides talking about Pimblett. Some saying, "Man, this guy's the next big thing." Some saying how excited they were to see him finally make this UFC and get like humble. Some people are like, "Yeah, I want to see this guy get exposed." So this was like a mix of everything. They got to see him get hurt. They got to see him come back. They got to see him get a win. He cut a good promo after. This was exactly the kind of debut that the UFC would have hoped for.
We'll see what happens. If they're smart, they don't push him too quickly. I can't wait for on to the next one to see these DMs, to see what kind of matchups that people are suggesting for Patty Pimblett, because good grief. It's going to be it's probably going to be funny. We're probably going to see a mixed bag of everything. So Tom Aspinall, big win. Tom Aspinall, big win. Alex Morono, another victory against David Sawada. Khalil Roundtree, we talked about that was nasty, and he came out with that that Eric Anders fight intensity. We talked about Patty Pimblett, Molly McCann, big win, needed that one badly. Jack Shore looked great. Juliana Rosa, such a dog, man, such a dog.
I thought Juliana Rosa got robbed of a performance. That submission was awesome. It was third round, right?
Yep.
Yeah, third round, and he was on his way to losing the fight, correct?
Maybe it was 1-1.
The scorecards had it 1-1. Yeah.
Okay, I had it 2-0 Jourdain, but either way, it was a great submission.
Yeah.
And then Marc-André Barriol. Is that close, AK?
No.
Ish.
He beat Dalcha Lunjibula. Go ahead.
Yes, he wins as well. So, what are the peeps saying? Let's go to the peeps.
Sorry for the peeps. If you threw some questions or comments in earlier, feel free to throw them in again. I probably missed them.
No, yep. Spam, guys. Now's the time to spam. Spam your questions. Now's the time.
All right, here we go. Let me go to the top. Let me go. What we got? I took a couple ones.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Yeah, during the Q&A with Sean Brady, everyone's like, Casey's the best admin when it comes to putting comments up. He's absolutely right. Casey, I'll let you answer this question. What's next for Darren Till?
This really depends on Darren Till's ego, to be honest. If I'm Darren Till's coaches, I give him not Jared Cannonier, not anyone inside the top 10. I give someone outside the top 10. I think Darren Till needs someone. I don't have a name in particular. I can't. If you throw me some names, I'd help you, but I could do better. But someone outside the top 10. I think Darren Till needs for his own confidence and just to remind people who he is, kind of what he can do. We need a showcase fight with Darren Till, and it's been a while since he's had a showcase fight. And so outside the top 10 and not a main event, I think he just needs to be a fighter on a card, because this was not a good night for Darren Till. And this is a bad one for him. So yeah.
I just don't think that's possible though.
That's the problem. Yeah.
It's not possible.
I don't know why it's not possible, but it should be, because I gotta get the rankings up, but let me think about that one. Yeah.
I mean, I'll throw this out there. This is just top of my head. This might not be my final decision, but I think he gets the winner of Luke Rockhold versus Sean Strickland.
The winner.
He's
I was going to say maybe the loser. I was going to say maybe the loser of that fight.
I mean, if Strickland wins, Darren Till, like with the namesake, seems like a pretty logical next step. Till's there for, I mean, Till's name has value. A win over Darren Why? Till means something, no matter what his record is. It just is.
This is crazy. Just how did he get to this level?
He draws eyeballs and people care about him. And if you get over on Darren Till, that's a big deal. It's a very
We already have Strickland ranked higher than Till in our rankings.
Yeah, I know. Ranking.
Why should he have to go back? I don't know. I would say the loser that's of that silly. Fight, maybe. Or maybe if Rockhold won. I think if Rockhold won, I'd be more in favor of him having to fight Till. I think Strickland can leapfrog him. I understand the value of the name. I'm also looking, a lot of guys are booked. I mean, Kevin Holland obviously is a perfect opponent. He's fighting Kyle Daukaus on October 2nd. So I think Holland, win or lose, would be such a great opponent for Darren Till, right? Like, isn't that the perfect guy?
Darren Till.
Holland's not even ranked, is he?
Till might not be ranked after this loss.
Darren Till.
Dude, he's probably going to go two spots. Are you kidding me? It's the UFC
Darren
rankings.
Till versus Uriah Hall.
Yeah.
I don't dislike that.
I don't dislike that.
Darren Till versus Uriah. Two names. Yeah. Both guys have name value. Their name value is bigger than their actual ranking, you know? So it's a fight that you could almost main event a fight night for that if you wanted to.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, then, if we're in agreement. Yeah. So it's a fight night main event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that fight.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's amazing. It's amazing that he has so many options still. After losing a fight like in such a one lopsided fashion, like he all these names you mentioned, there's a lot of good fights for him, and it's true. It's in a lot of these fights, maybe his name wouldn't be first on the poster or in our headlines or whatever, but like to a lot of fans, he would be the A side somehow. Like if he was matched up with Sean Strickland, there's a lot of fans who would. I don't think he'd be favored, but I think it'd be surprising like how many people would expect him to beat Sean Strickland, which is like based on what I don't even know anymore. But you're right. There is something about him.
The fact that we're still talking about Till way more than Brunson, you know,
that's only because of
but all the comments are like I would say like 85% Till something this, Till something that. I mean, just you know,
there you go.
We flow with what the people want to hear, you know.
In fairness, I think it's because it's a little more obvious. Also, what's next for Brunson?
Either wait, fingers crossed. Yeah.
No one else emerges as a like really strong contender and he gets a title shot. But that's a lot of waiting and that's a lot of ifs. So, but again, that's true.
Dude, let me just say on the preview show, like I didn't feel like I was talking crap on Darren Till, but I got about five or six kind of semi-nasty messages from Till fans saying, oh, you don't know. He dropped Whittaker. Like they were very
good. That was my fault. That was my fault. They should have been with me.
I do have to read something because there are some good people out there. Okay. There are some Ooh. Very honest, humble Ooh. People out there.
Name them. Who are these people?
I believe this is one of the commenters, Dalton Collins.
Okay.
Who wrote, I apologize, my memory served me wrong. Darren didn't floor Rob. He did catch him, but it wasn't what I thought it was. You was right. He kind of pushed him down. So there you go. People who went back and actually watched it, there you go. Yeah. And then I was like, look, it's all good. 900 fights. There are like there's so many fights that we have to remember. There's fights every weekend. There's certain things that aren't as clear, and that's all that was. Mm-hmm. But people still love Darren Till. I get it. I totally get it. That's why his name carries such weight. It just
trust me. I didn't get mean ones. They were just like, bro, I can't believe you're not Darren Till.
He's gonna know. It's nuts.
And I respect it because then you're Till fans and be a fan of your guy. But we're just talking reality.
Even like. No one like we all picked Brunson to win, but no one was like trashing Darren Till. Yeah, we just don't know enough about him as a fighter. Like we just don't.
My only thing for Till is why not for his benefit? Why can't he? Casey raised an excellent point as to like, okay, why is Darren Till favored over Derek Brunson heading into this fight? And we kind of said, well, if you had switched their like recent opponents, let's say Darren Till had gotten a fight like Elias Theodoro or like Ian Heinisch, like he probably would have won those fights as well. He could have been entering this fight with Brunson on a 2-fight, 3-fight winning streak. And again, we don't know for sure, but certainly he'd be favored in those matchups and that's fine. So why can't we do this with Till now? Is he not allowed to take a step back? I'm sure he doesn't want to. But for the match, can the matchmakers not sort of suggest take a step back, maybe fight someone in the 14 to 20 range, like outside the rankings? Let's get you a win streak going. Because that's what Brunson did. Like Brunson lost to Jacare and Izzy, And it's not like they said, well, now we're throwing you in with another back into the top of Dean just because you probably want it. It's like, no, we're going to put you in with Elias. We're going to put you in there with Dean Heinisch.
He went not all the way to the back of the line, but, you know, he definitely went outside the rankings. Yeah.
Can we not get Till some more, no, I'm not saying walkovers, but some more like clearly favorable style matchups, some winnable fights? There's a lot of good guys at 185 who he can beat, I think. Just not in the top 10 right now. So I don't know. Again, maybe I know he doesn't need it. I know we're saying it's wins and losses don't matter for him right now, but at some point they will. And I think he'll look better a year from now with a couple of wins under his belt. So
it's because Derek Brunson makes far less than Darren Till, I'm sure. I'm sure Darren Till is paid much more handsomely, which is not necessarily fair. I'd be Derek Brunson has won 5 in a row and is knocking on the door of a title fight. But Darren Till has climbed the ranks at 170. He got to fight for a belt. He got in, you know, when you do that, you get a nice fat contract. I'm sure he's still reaping the benefits of that deal. And that's it. So that's why. I mean, Derek Brunson, they're just like, Derek probably gets decent money, but him fighting Ian Heinisch and Elias Theodoro and those guys, like, it made more sense business wise because he wasn't making 6 figures a fight.
And as we've kind of said a bunch of times, somehow even those wins though, he's not more popular than Darren Till. So I don't know. Maybe winning isn't everything, right?
Yeah. Darren Till, like, if Phil Haas, like Darren Till, Phil Haas would be interesting. Like if Phil Haas wins his next fight,
there's no way that happens.
That would be the kind of matchmaking I'd like to see.
But Darren Till against another wrestler.
But Phil will probably just stand there and try to knock his block off. But yeah, I mean, that's there too. Yeah.
I was at about 3 or 4 years ago when Derek was still at Jackson's in Albuquerque, and Brunson was still training in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. Man, I saw him train and, you know, just do wrestling scrambles with Phil Haas, and just watching just those two behemoths of men just scramble on the mats, I was just like, good Lord. I was just like, it was just like the athleticism was just like so impressive. I was like, man, there is a different level between like me punching the bag and those two gentlemen. Like, it was just so far apart, and it was just really incredible to watch. So I do like Phil. If I'm Phil Haas, I would love that Darren Till fight. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, what else we got?
I like this. People, uh-oh, questions. Gary Freeman, is this the G-damn Darren Till?
He's the biggest question mark coming out of this. Yep. I mean, we're talking about questions to ask after events. I mean, it's probably Darren Till is probably most of them, right? Like, we know Derek Brunson gets the kudos he's got two options right now. It's wait for the title or fight Jared Cannonier. And if you win, you definitely fight for the title. So Till, there's a million questions. Brunson, there isn't.
Yeah. Oh, Casey, we got a question about the oblique kick. You see that from our pal Tristan Gordet.
Where are we at?
It might be a bit up there. It might have passed by. But.
Well, we can just talk about it. I don't know.
What
does it say?
Tristan says, do you think the oblique kick to the knee should be banned? Many fighters got on Twitter saying that it should. I assume we're all in favor of not banning, but I could be wrong. Who wants to go first?
I understand. Do you have some of the Twitter comments from fighters?
Oh, sure. Let me go ahead. I'll read it. I'll find it. Just start waxing poetic on here.
You know what? I never understood that. People go, make those illegal, you know. But then actually I was talking to Sarah Kaufman, and she kind of was in agreement about making them illegal. And it made sense a little bit because I still think they should be legal. But she was saying, since those kicks, the intention of those aren't to break down the muscle or bruise the leg like normal kicks are. The intention of that kick is strictly to rip apart the ligaments in the knee. And in MMA, well, any type of submission, there's an option to tap out. See if you get caught in some sort of knee bar or, you know, a heel hook or anything. There's an option to tap out. The problem with those kicks, there's no option to tap out. Either you just get you get hit with it and your knee goes, or it doesn't go. So I kind of get that reasoning, because there's no option to tap on such a catastrophic injury. But it's his MMA, and you, like Roundtree said, you can't be heavy on your foot. You can't be heavy on that lead foot. That's why Bukauskas got nailed with it, because he was heavy with that jab. he put a pattern out there that Roundtree recognized, and he capitalized it. And even Roundtree threw one maybe 15 seconds before that and completely missed. And Bukakis didn't take that as a warning, and he still went the same, you know, game plan, throwing a jab of a heavy lead foot. And unfortunately, it went very south for him. So I don't think it should be illegal, but I get why you should.
I'll read some of the reactions here. Aljamain Sterling said, who wants to go into a fight, throw a jab, and get their entire knee destroyed? Ouch, ow, ah. I shouldn't have read those. That's devastating. Genoa, hurt. Hate those strikes. Those are career-threatening. Tatiana Suarez had one of the toughest reactions. She said, OMG, no, that's how my knee looks. Suarez, of course, is dealing with her own knee problems. S-word. Literally sick to my stomach. Bilal Muhammad, that's knee should be banned. That's career changing. There's a bunch more, but you guys can find that on mafighting.com. We compiled those. So and it was a nice graphic on Instagram as well, I believe. So that's how a lot of the fighters felt about it. I didn't see a lot of defenses. I didn't see a lot of people saying to not ban it. But Mike, I don't know.
And Roundtree said a lot. He said a lot of good stuff in the little post fight interview. Those are kicks like you really. If you do train them in sparring, you throw them at maybe 5%, maybe 5%. And they don't even touch your partner, like, because they're so, like, it doesn't take very much pressure. And, dude, that's, what, a 225-pound man coming down on that leg? It's brutal. The sports, it's just a brutal sport. And I think I sent a tweet out there right when it happened. I was like, we are all sickos for watching this, because we're like, yeah. Good technique. You know, it's just, I mean, I get what we're watching. We understand the what's at stake here. It's just like, but sometimes, man, whew, it's that could be career ending for Bukakis, you know, or he's out for, I mean, according to Dr. Bisping, you know, MCL, PCL, meniscus, everything's gone. So,
it was awful to watch. So, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of tough for me to say that they should ban it or shouldn't ban it. It's kind of, we don't see it that often at this point, but yeah, it's brutal to watch. I will say that, but maybe each fighter, like when they get their contracts, they can write in their own no oblique kick clause, and then you just can't do it.
So my only question is, why are we okay? And this is asked by a lot of people who were sort of defending the technique. Is why are we okay with, why are we have so offended by that, and why are we okay with guys giving each other brain damage? Like I don't understand. Like what is there is it? I get it. It's certainly not the same thing. But if we're talking about like, oh, this is something that could like affect someone's life and their career, there have been more careers probably ended by bad KOs and long lasting concussions than there have been by oblique kicks. So why do we – I don't know. Visually, it's certainly different. Seeing Bukakis' leg just buckle like that, I'll be shocked. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it's nothing serious. I'll be shocked if they're in some sort of tear. So visually, it looks worse. I understand that. But if we're talking about the deleterious effect that these kind of – like all these techniques can have on someone's life, how can you be okay with one and not the other? That's – like I don't understand.
I mean, it's just where we draw the line. Like we don't allow, you know, we don't allow strikes to the back of the head, back to the spine. Like, well, sure. Why not? You know, you should be able, you know, it's like we allow head kicks. Why don't we allow strikes to the back of the spine? Well, you can be permanently paralysis 12, the rest of your life.
12-6
you
know? Elbows. Why 12-6 elbows? I'm just saying. Right? But soccer kicks.
You are correct, AK, in what you said, but there's essentially a line at some point. You know, we've drawn the line at, you know, spine attacks and back of the head attacks, you know, eye gouges. So we have drawn a line in the sand as far as what can be what's too dangerous and what side of the line is oblique kicks on. You know, I think that's kind of it's a gray area. I understand both arguments basically.
From a fan standpoint, I get it. Listen, we're really bad still, I think, in combat sports at how we deal with brain injuries and knockouts. Like, for me, honestly, if you suffer, like, a vicious head kick knockout, I think you should be out for, like, a year. I know that's not feasible. The guys don't make enough money where they can do that. If a doctor says they can fight again in 3 months, they're going to do it. I completely understand. Something like a ligament tear or something, you don't have that option. If you tear a ligament, like, again, if this is Bukakis, this is a serious injury, he's out for at least, like, 9 months plus rehab plus, like, this could be over a year of his career gone. Now, again, like I said, I think that should be the case with knockouts too, but it isn't. That's why I think fans are like, well, we don't mind if a guy gets knocked out. get some rest. He can be back in the cage in 3 or 4 months. It's all good. But I think if we started treating all these injuries more equally, then they would be taking them out for longer periods of time. So I think there's a fan, and for us as well, there's a fan aspect, there's a media aspect of it as well, that at least someone can still fight again later in a year if they get a head injury, which they shouldn't. But if they get a leg, knee, anything like that, ankle, heel, then they're out no matter what. So that's fine. That's another argument for banning that move. But I think it's very much all the same.
Listen, we can't even fix the eye poking problem in MMA. So until we even get some sort of improvement on the eye poking, we can't even talk about changing rules of oblique kicks altogether. We can't even fix the eye pokes. We can't fix that. So until that happens, we have to table this one. But yeah, I mean, I'm probably more with you, AK. It just, I mean, just watching it sucks because it's really horrible. Awful.
Horrible.
But that's it. I'm not saying we should ban it or not ban it. It's a technique. It's a mixed martial arts. It's a fight.
Yeah. And like mentioned earlier, I'll just reiterate, you have to adjust your offense expecting that kick. And yeah, that takes away a lot of the striking aggressiveness, that Bukauskas or whoever the victim would be. You just got to be much more wary of that. And yeah, that's all. It makes striking less fun because fighters have to be a little more conservative because they have to watch. There's so much to watch out for. So, just cross your fingers and just hope your opponent isn't Khalil Roundtree. Is that the worst one we've seen in the UFC in a while?
Ever, right? At least by oblique kick?
I've seen them in other organizations. Ever. I remember Miguel Torres got hit when he fought post-UFC in the regional circuit. He got hit with a bad one. That was a while back. But like Mike said, they don't happen often, but when they do, it's disgusting. And you just feel extremely bad for the fighter. If they start happening once a month, I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot more people questioning the legality of it. Or if it should be a legal move, if it starts happening more and more often, because it's going to hurt promoters, their pocketbook, because eventually, it was Bukauskas, but what happens, am I saying his name right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bukauskas.
Bukauskas. I felt like I was missing a syllable. But once it starts happening to those money fighters, they get their knees blown, then you guarantee promoters will start talking to commission guys.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Guys, hit us up with some more questions.
Guys, now is the time for questions.
Questions
and comments.
I mean, this is one of those events where there's not a ton of them.
There were only 9 fights.
Yeah. Or comments, anyone that really impressed you? Yeah, hit us up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are 9 fights. The big storylines are pretty clear outside of Darren Till's future. I mean, it's just kind of is what it is. Tom Aspinall called out Blagoy Ivanov. There you go. He's in no rush. He's like, dude, I'll just fight number 12. I'll fight number 11. I'm in no rush to fight for the title. He's happy with the slow burn.
If your name's Sergey, he'll fight you.
That's right.
Pavlovich, Bivak, bring it on.
Sergey Kharitonov. Sign up,
Kharitonov.
Your name's Sergey, watch out. If you weigh 206 pounds and above, your name's Sergey, watch out.
I'm just looking who's ahead of him here. Some of the names. Some of the people are booked, so forgive me. I'm just throwing names out there. Chris Dawkins, Marcin Tybura, Shamil Abdurakhimov. Volkov's out there, so yeah, he has plenty of options.
Yeah, there's plenty for Aspinall.
What a talent, though, eh? What a talent this guy is. He's shown he's winning people over with his knockout power. And the crazy thing is, his base is grappling. He is came up as a grappling specialist guy, but he's a great athlete, very agile for heavyweight. We always like to see that with guys like him and Francis Ngannou and Cyril Gane. So for that, and then plus he has this grappling base. Man, that's legit. How old is he? He's not old, right? He's
mid-20s, I think. 26. Oh, no, sorry. He's 28.
28.
So, yeah, for heavyweights, he's still has a couple. We could see
16 years left at heavyweight.
Yeah.
It's true.
What? I would say this about Tom Aspinall. I don't know if he's going to fight for a belt or whatever, but I do know that we are going to see him fighting at a top level for the next 10 years, whatever organization, he has a fighting style. That's going to do well for him. And being from the UK. Yeah.
I think he can give a lot of guys problems in this division. A lot of guys problems.
You know, but he was one of those guys right when I saw, I think maybe his second fight in the UFC, I was like, all right, this guy's good. There was something about the way he moved, his knockouts. I was like, okay, this guy's, he just needs bigger name opponents. And if he's not in a rush, then good on him. Good on his management, good on his coaches for giving him the right opponents and not pushing him too fast. I don't know if that's on the UFC or the manager side, but they're doing a great job. Whoever's the matchmaking for Tom Aspinall, great job.
Agreed.
Do.
What else? What else we got? Have we had a response like Patty's in these events without fans? Yeah, I mean, we talked about that earlier. I mean, that was the loudest I've heard the Apex since the pandemic began. No doubt about it.
Yeah. It's too bad this wasn't in London. That's all.
I know.
I know.
And come on.
That would have been a Connor and Dublin type pop. That would
be crazy.
Oh, no, not even that. It would have been a Connor. What was it? Who did he fight in Boston when he came out to the champions walk in the middle of the card? Was it Holloway?
Remember
he wasn't even the main event. It was like in, I think.
Yeah, it had to have been because the other time he fought in Boston, it was the main event.
Yeah, when he came, I think it was the first. It was that Boston card, and I think it was headlined by Chael versus Shogun. Dude, it sounded like Jose Young.
Wow, that's there. A long.
Yeah,
I know.
And when Conor came out, the UFC gave him kind of like a main event type walkout. I felt if this was normal times, they would have done the same thing for Patty. It would have worked. But Venom, go to the fabric store, buy some orange fabric, make some shorts for Mr. Patty, get a Sharpie, draw your little fangs on it, make a little Venom logo, and there you go. Stop. Come on, man. Make these guys stick out. Make them pop. Jeez. God, I'm so upset. Turn the music up, too. I wanted to hear that jam.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You know, Casey, when you get the chance, can you get Scott McCrae's question about can you rate the commentary tonight? He's asking us about the commentary. Oh, there. Oh, look at that. How do you do that? Scott McCrae, yeah. Can you rate? So it's funny. So I was thinking there was a lot of moments where I was bothered by the commentary because they got sidetracked quite a bit. And we're not talking about the long stretches. It's okay if guys go on tangents. I mean, that's when you have former fighters, you want them to bring the sort of character and bring their stories to the commentary booth. Otherwise, you'd get boring people like us on there. Well, no, Mike, you've actually done it before, so I shouldn't say that. But I'll just speak for myself. But at the same time, it's like sometimes there's like a lot happening on screen. And when they're not calling it, it's so disorienting. And again, I really want to get their educated opinions on sort of like why something's happening, how it unfolded a certain way. So I don't like it when they go too far on tangents. But Scott said specifically in his question, he says that he was entertained. And I think for a lot of viewers, that's the most important thing, right? It's like why a lot of viewers still like Joe Rogan. It's like we can be kind of in the media can be a bit like tight about like, oh, I wish they'd focus on the fight. I wish they'd understand the scoring criteria better. But at the end of the day, if the viewer is entertained by what the commentary team is saying, is that not, you know, is that the primary goal of what they're doing, of why they're up there talking? So it's not for me. It's not my kind of thing. But I mean, that's just me criticizing sort of objectively. If you enjoy Rogan, Cormier, Bisping, whoever, Paul Felder, John Anik, I guess that's all that matters, right? I guess we can't, we don't necessarily need to be so critical when it comes to it. But I'll say personally, I did not enjoy some of the commentary tonight. So that was sort of my disclaimer. If you liked it, good for you. I wish they could focus a little more on the fights and not kind of stray too much.
All I'll say is I can't wait till Laura Sanko is in the mix for these fight night cards.
Thank you. Yes.
That's all I'll say. I thought I liked that Dan Helly is okay. I mean, I know he's sort of a newer voice and we're so used to Anik, and, you know, now we've gotten accustomed to Fitzgerald and John Gooden when he's on, and then Helly comes on and it's like a little bit of a different sound. But the combination of Felder and Sanko doing color on Tuesday on the Contender Series is phenomenal. It was a great mix. And I think she can, I don't know if serious is the right word, but she kind of injects like a fun seriousness to it where like she's having fun and showing off her personality, but it's not like over the top silly like some of these things can get. And it gets a little tangent-y, like you said, AK. There were times, especially when the European fighters were fighting, I kind of shook my head a couple times. You know, a little hometown glory stuff going on. I mean, Bisping, you could tell he catches himself and then like finds that middle ground again. But it kind of gets away from him for a second. But then he has improved so much in this gig and he's really good at it that he knows and he catches himself and he gets back into it. But I mean, they were fine. When you have Anik in the quarterback role, yeah, he can control it a little bit and stop it before it gets out of control. It's a very tough thing to do. It's really difficult when you have personalities like that and you have to try to control the narrative and kind of keep everybody on track. It's not easy. So I have so much respect for everything John Anik does, and because that job is very hard, very difficult.
The part of the night I liked the best from what I remember was when actually DC went to the telestrator and was actually breaking down how Brunson was getting these takedowns and you know putting the hands underneath the butt, you know, emptying out the right way and all, things like that. That's what I like. That's what I want. But I totally get why that's not what maybe the fans at home want. That I don't know. I get entertainment, sports entertainment. So whatever.
Yeah, they're all great.
Some people just that's why I love Dominic, and a lot of fans just are annoyed of Dominic because Dominic would get so analytical. But and even when I don't agree with Dominic, I respect his viewpoint always. And Dominic kind of focuses on the fight, and yeah, but to each their own. Whatever, it's the UFC's business.
I like Felder a lot. I think he's
he has good middle ground. I think he's a good middle ground.
He's really good.
All right.
Jack Shore's performance felt underwhelming. Would you agree? I don't think so. I mean, listen, did he perform like a minus 600 favorite typically would and just go out and starch this kid? No, but he fought a really tough guy, like a very game and tough guy. And when you don't really, especially when you take on a guy like that on short notice, when you're preparing for a much different opponent in a much different fight, you got to mind your P's and Q's. I don't care who it is, especially when you're undefeated. There's a target on your back. There's a lot of, I mean, I know he's not getting all the attention he probably deserves at this record, but at the same time, the hardcore fans had Jack Shore circled. So they're all watching him very closely. And if you follow that hardcore trend, Shore was a very popular name. So most people expected, especially the betting lines, he'd just go out there and finish this kid in a minute. Very tough to finish that guy. He's very durable, very game. AK talked about it on the preview show that this wasn't going to be a typical squash match. He was going to give him a little bit of trouble. And I mean, Shore cruised and did his thing, and he's 15-0 now. I didn't see a big problem with the performance. I thought he showed his striking continues to get better and better. He's able to mix things up nicely. We got to see some different pieces to his game in the UFC that we haven't seen before. I don't think underwhelming is a fair word. Am I crazy?
No, I agree with you. I don't – honestly, he was the third fight from the bottom against a relative unknown fighter to, you know, most UFC fans. So I think if there's a fight just to get three solid rounds in, get three solid 10-9s, you know – and I don't even think he got – it was a great performance. It was a great mixed martial arts performance. And by the third round, he was just like – he looked so loose in there and so comfortable
Yeah, while you the fan may be a bit underwhelmed, I'm sure Jack Shore and his coaches were very satisfied with his performance tonight. And he will get higher placement in the cards, get bigger name opponents. And let's save those breakout performances for then, I think. I think tonight was just a good performance for Jack Shore, especially his opponent and where he was on the card.
I like that you said it was a strong mixed martial arts performance. This was hashtag MMA. This was MMA. I was thinking the whole way. MMA. Look at him using those MMA angles to avoid. No, guys, people have to keep in mind, this was his third scheduled opponent. That's really tough. This was third, and I think this was on a week's notice. And yes, it's definitely a disadvantage for the guy coming in a short notice, obviously. But it's also a little tricky for the guy going in, the other guy going in, because he doesn't obviously have time to prepare. This is when you're at this level, such bantamweight, which is pretty deep. And again, Ludwig is tough. Yeah, Ludwig is, like, I think when people see, if he's probably going to get another shot, I think we'll see. He'll get to show a little bit more. You can't mess around. We've seen a lot of guys get upset. Remember, Worley Alves got smoked in like a minute by someone, a UFC newcomer. Like, when you don't. You really have to kind of have a more conservative game plan if you're dealing with someone that you don't know a lot about. We've seen it called Terrence McKinney came in and smoked someone. So Shalinian doesn't have quite that like explosive knockout power, but in a different way, who knows? If Shore had been too daring with his strategy and too aggressive, he could have been put in his back for three rounds and lose a decision to a guy no one's heard of. And that's just as bad, right? So people have to take that into consideration. I thought maybe some of the GSP comparisons were a little crazy. He looked like GSP. And I understand, very technical, very consistent, methodical fighter. Maybe pull back on that. But otherwise, not disappointing at all. There's probably people who lost money who were hoping for a first-round finish.
Oh, and one more comment from Buffo on the Beat.
What is that? Is that a what is that, a movie? I don't understand. Is that what is this? Is this TV show? Not familiar with. I don't know what that is.
It's a movie. It's on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah. It's a Disney Plus. Yeah, it's a Disney Plus movie, right? Okay, great. Yeah,
like a genie movie, and yeah, super. I don't know.
These such three words.
Such a bad Canadian.
No, I'm kidding. I haven't heard it. I haven't listened to the album. Obviously, shout us to Drake. I'm sure. There you go. Let's do a little promotion for Drake because he needs it.
He needs it.
Yeah. Right. Good God.
We briefly mentioned this, but let's talk about this fight a little bit.
Molly McCann is...
Whoa, you gotta do the voice.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a savage, man. She's a savage. Oh. She went out there and... Listen. I love Molly McCann. I effing love her. I love Molly McCann.
She keeps blowing up my phone. Give me a fight.
Every day. Every day she's sliding into my DMs. Give me a fight, Dana. Give me a fight. I'm like, Dana. I'm like, Molly. I don't make the fights. I just sit in my room and I yell and scream and I turn red and I shave my head every day. And I lift weights, lots of them. Okay, I don't make the fights. But every day, here she is, sending me DMs. I want to fight this girl. She is a savage. I love Molly McCann. That was as Boston and Dana's Dana as I can get.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, whatever.
Dude, Molly did exactly what she needed. I was so excited about this fight. Molly being a two-fight losing streak, I think even if the loss, honestly, I don't think she would have got her walking papers, but I'm not sure what Molly McCann. I know she's kind of hinted at – has she hinted at retirement? Or is she just kind of
a couple of fights ago, wasn't it?
Okay,
before pandemic. But no, she left her gloves in the cage. But it was for someone had passed. I think her father.
Okay, it was something else. Okay,
it was more of an emotional, more dedication than a
gotcha. I'm walking away. But either way, it would have been three straight losses if she would have lost this fight tonight. I don't think she would have got released. I think UFC is a little more. A popular fighter at flyweight, but man, just an awesome performance. Just, you know, I hate using overused the term savage, but that's how she fought tonight. She just didn't give a F and just like, I'm just gonna go in. It was very like Bart Simpson, Lisa Simpson. I'm just gonna spin my arms like this and you kick like this and we're just gonna meet in the middle. And that's what she did. And she just out toughed Kim. I picked Kim coming into this. I thought she was a better overall fighter, but you know, it's one of those nights where it sounds lazy to say, but I felt she wanted it more. And that's how she got it.
look, 10-inch reach advantage. I know we were kind of downplaying it before. That's huge. And for someone who's a good striker, like Kidd is a good striker. Okay. Like maybe she can't use, couldn't use her reach advantage, you know, as well as she could have, but like she used it pretty well. This for me was like the difference between, there's a difference between trying to win a fight, like trying to win a professional fight, and trying to win a fight, like a human being versus human being fight. And you saw that Molly McCann today. She's trying to win a fight. This is like she's, if I don't win, I'm going to die. And she, out-toughed, out-uglied the fight. Mm-hmm. Like when you're facing someone that much bigger than you, you have to make it ugly and you're going to get hit a lot, which she did. I mean, she was eating combinations, but she was landing a lot of her own too. It's really not something every fighter can do. You'll see a lot of fighters who, if they're getting out technique, they just kind of like tune out. They just don't have an answer for it. And they just get up getting, you know, they loot dropping a 30-27 decision and it's fine. They live to fight another day. They didn't get knocked out. Molly McCann had to risk getting KO'd. Like, I mean, she really had to go into some hard shots and could have gotten KO'd. And she just said, screw it. It's either I'm not going to lose a decision. Like, it's just not going to happen that way.
And I felt she was winning that fight in the last minute. You know, I think she lost the first round. Yeah, she lost. First round was close, but I think she lost it. And I think she was on her way to winning in the third round. She won the second round. In the third round, like 4 minutes in, it was pretty much her fight, you could tell. But then she was still like, she did her Max Holloway. She was pointing at Matt. She came down with her hands down. She was just like punch me, Kim. Punch me.
Hit in the face.
And I was like, lady, you are crazy. I like you. It's like, so that is exactly the type of fighter that Dana White loves. So way to make your bosses happy. That's all. And I'm excited to watch them both fight again.
That was Boston Molly McCann. That was the October 2019 Molly McCann right there. No doubt about it.
Congratulations on the 50 G's for both of them. It should be 100.
Yeah.
Should be 100 each.
Yes.
We have some people with some fight suggestions, but we'll save that for you guys doing on to the next. But I think we're
good.
Oh boy. Oh no. What happened here?
Oh, hey.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I guess now we're officially good.
This is a hell of a way to end the show. There we go. All right. We are back.
What happened?
It was a monster.
Let's go back to it. All right. Yeah.
My screen went crazy.
It's like the beginning of Home Alone when the house gets a little bit bigger and bigger, like the beginning sequence of Home Alone. All right. We're getting out of here.
I think it's a
sign. This was a fun show to watch, guys. This was a fun show to watch. 9 fights, yes. Middle of the day.
Look at that sunlight.
All good.
Sunlight.
Yes. It's great. Sun is coming down in good old South Carolina here, but. It's all over. The fight card is over. AK and I back tomorrow with On to the Next One. So if you got matchmaking suggestions, hit AK up on the DMs, hit me up on the DMs on Instagram, and we will discuss all of those tomorrow on the program. Of course, the MMA Hour back on Wednesday. Wednesday, not on Labor Day, on Wednesday. So probably some follow-ups when it comes to this card and no UFC next weekend. But next weekend... We got some craziness.
No UFC next weekend? Really?
No UFC next weekend?
I just assume there's UFC every weekend. I don't even bother looking at the calendar. It's like Wednesday.
Nope, they're off to the 18th.
Wow.
And that's a good weekend. I believe that's the, is that the Yoel Romero, Phil Davis weekend too?
Oh, wow.
That's a good weekend.
Oh, I know it's next weekend. I know it's next weekend. The fight we've all been waiting for.
Holyfield
versus... Belfort. And I was supposed to go down the street. I was supposed to see the dang thing at the Forum, and they moved. Oh, not the Forum, the Staples Center. They moved it across the country, so I'm sitting at home all week now. Yeah, I know.
It's okay, because guess who will probably be there now.
Oh,
this guy.
Look at you. All right.
Ooh. Yes. Get ready. We'll see. TBD, but it's looking good at this point.
Is it Tampa? Or do you
it's
know
in
yet?
Hollywood, Florida.
Seminole
Hard Rock.
Okay, that's
same place the PFL is at.
Okay.
Can I just say, I see a lot of people were watching, tuned into this show for the last like hour. I love all of you guys watching and commenting, and I don't say it enough. Like I used to say it all the time. I love everyone watching, commenting, criticizing, whatever it is. You guys are the best. You guys watching and whoever listens to this after, you guys are the best.
And for all the kind words saying like, where are these guys? We appreciate it. We are here. We are back, and we got lots to discuss. So we'll see you then. For Casey, for AK, I am Mike Heck. We'll see you tomorrow for On to the Next One. Have a great rest of the day and night, everybody. You got the world is your oyster right now. Enjoy it.
Get some better internet, AK. It's your birthday.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.